As they reached the edge of the desert, Osman reined in Al-Buk lightly, and at the same time urged him forward with his knees. It was the signal for the stallion to break into a triple gait. The smooth, flowing action so easy on both horse and rider. It is not a natural pace, and a horse has to be schooled to learn it. The emir's outriders followed his example and tripled away at a pace faster than a trot, but not as fast as a canter. At the end of the rope, Penrod had to stretch out to keep up with them. They swung southwards parallel to the river, and the heat of the day started to build up. They rode on as far as the village of Al-Malaka, where the headman and the village elders all hastened out to greet the emir. They implored him to grant them the honour of providing him with refreshment. If Osman had been truly on the chase, he would never have wasted time on such indulgences, but he knew that if the captive did not rest and drink, he would die. His clothing was drenched with sweat, and his feet were bloody from the prick of thorns and flint cuts. While he sat under the tree in the centre of the village and discussed the possibility of finding game in the vicinity, Osman noted with satisfaction that Al-Nur had understood his true purpose and was allowing Penrod to sit and drink from the waterskins. When Osman stood at last and ordered his party to mount up, Penrod seemed to have regained much of his strength. He had pulled his left arm out of the sling, although it was not yet completely healed. It unbalanced him and hampered the swing of his shoulders as he ran. They rode on and paused an hour later, while Osman glassed the desert ahead for any sign of gazelle. In the meantime, Al-Nur let Penrod drink again, then allowed him to squat on his haunches, his head between his knees, as he gasped for breath. Too soon, Osman ordered the advance. For the rest of that day, they described a wide circle through the dunes, over gravelly plains and across ridges of limestone, pausing occasionally to drink from the waterskins. An hour before sunset, they returned to Omdurman. The horses had slowed to a walk, and Penrod staggered along behind them at the end of his rope. More than once, he was jerked off his feet and dragged in the dirt. When this happened, Al-Nur backed his horse until he was able to struggle up. When they rode through the gate and dismounted in the courtyard, Penrod was swaying on his torn, bloody feet. He was dazed with exhaustion, and it required all his remaining strength merely to remain upright. Osman called to him. "You disappoint me, Abd. I looked for you to find the gazelle herds for us, but you were more happy rolling in the dust and looking for dung beetles." The other hunters shouted with delight at the jest, and Al-Nur suggested, "Dung beetle is a better name for him than Abd." "So be it, then," Osman agreed. "From henceforth he shall be known as Jis, the slave who became a dung beetle." As Osman turned towards his own quarters, a slave prostrated himself in front of him. "Mighty Emir and beloved of Allah and his true prophet, the divine Mahdi, has been taken gravely ill. He has sent word for you to go to him at once." Osman leapt back into Al-Buk's saddle and galloped out through the gates of the compound. The jailers came for Penrod and dragged him to his cell. As previously, they chained him to the iron stake. But before they locked the door and left him, one of the jailers grinned at him. "Do you still have the strength to attack the great emir?"
"Nay," Penrod whispered, "but perhaps I could still twist off the head of one of his chickens."
He showed the jailer his hands.
The man slammed the door hurriedly and locked it.
Standing within his reach were three large pitchers of water in place of the usual one, and a meal that, in comparison to those he had previously been offered, was a banquet. Rather than having been thrown onto the bare floor, the food had been placed in a dish. Penrod was so exhausted that he could hardly chew, but he knew that if he were to survive, he must eat. There was half a shoulder of roasted lamb, a lump of hard cheese, and a few figs and dates. As he munched, he wondered who had provided this fare, and if Osman Atalan had ordered it. If that was the case, what game was he playing? They let him rest on the following day, but on the next his jailers woke him before sunrise.
"Up, Abd Jiz. The emir presents his apologies. He cannot join you in the gazelle hunt this day. He has urgent business at the palace of the Mahdi. However, Al-Nur, the famous Agajie, invites you to hunt with him."
They placed the rope around his neck before they removed his chains. Penrod's feet were so swollen and torn that standing on them was agony. But after the first few miles the pain receded, and he ran on. They found not a single gazelle, although they scoured the desert for many leagues. By the time they returned, the nails on three of Penrod's toes had turned blue. They hunted again, day after day. Osman Atalan did not accompany them, and they killed no gazelle. But Al-Nur ran him hard. The nails fell off his injured toes. Many times over the next few weeks, Penrod thought that the infected wounds and scratches on both feet might turn gangrenous, and he would lose his legs. By the onset of the new moon that signalled the beginning of Ramadan, both his feet had healed, and the soles were toughened and calloused as though he wore sandals. Only the sharpest thorns could pierce them. He was as lean as a whippet. The fat had been stripped from his frame, replaced with rubbery muscle, and he could keep pace with Al-Nur's horse. Penrod had not seen Osman Atalan since the first unsuccessful gazelle hunt. But when he returned to Omdurman from the field on the third day of Ramadan, he was running strongly beside Al-Nur's stirrup. He looked like a desert Arab now. He was lean and bearded, sun-darkened and hard. As they reached the outskirts of the holy city, Al-Nur reined in. "There is something amiss," he said. "Listen." They could hear the drums beating and the ombeyas blaring. The music was not a battle hymn or the sound of rejoicing. It was a dirge. Then they heard salvos of rifle fire, and Al-Nur said, "It is bad news." A horseman galloped towards them, and they recognized another of Osman Atalan's agajirs. "Woe upon us!" he shouted. "Our father has left us. He is dead. Oh, woe upon us!" "Is it the emir?" Al-Nur yelled back. "Is Osman Atalan dead?" "Nay, it is the Holy One, the beloved of God, the light of our existence. Muhammad the Mahdi has been taken from us. We are children without a father."